Okay, so hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Default Global. This is where we connect with global first entrepreneurs, remote work experts, and talent acquisition experts from all around the world. Our guest today is Victoria Vega, a talent acquisition specialist at eSimplicity. Victoria, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Vit.
Sure. Victoria, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. And before we dive into the world of global hiring, talent acquisition, could you maybe share a bit about your journey, especially how your passion for connecting with people led you to become like a talent acquisition specialist at eSimplicity?
Yeah. So it's an interesting story, and it actually starts off with me working in nonprofit. So just stick with me. I started my career in workforce development, where I was working with underserved communities and helping them transition from jobs to careers. And so a lot of my job was interviewing these folks and making sure that they fit the criteria of what we were looking for in our program, and helping edit their resumes, going out and finding these candidates was a large part of the role too. And so due to COVID, I ended up leaving that position. And at the time, I was much younger and less worried about finances and the job market. So I decided to take some time off. But in that time, I knew that I really wanted to focus on my hard skills, because I felt that I didn't have any. And so in this almost serendipitous moment, as I was scrolling on TikTok, there was a video promoting this course called Data Science for All. And its goal was to have minorities in data roles. And so they advertised that you'd be learning from Harvard professors, and at the end of the course, you'd have a data analytics certificate. And so I decided to apply, and I had to submit an essay, and then I had to take a math test. And at that point, I was like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's no way that I'm actually going to get in. But I did. And it was truly the hardest learning experience of my life. But I'm so happy that I stuck with it, because I have a completely different lens of my world with the knowledge of data. And so when I was in the course, I was applying for other positions, and I ended up getting a position as a recruitment coordinator at the Trevor Project. This role really gave me a foundational knowledge of the recruitment process. And when I came in, our team was growing. We were expanding into Mexico. And so I had a lot of opportunity to really get my hands dirty with different processes and implementations, and just learning from some really rock star recruiters. And then one day I was scrolling on this website called People of Color Remote, and I found a position at Trust, which is a government digital services consultancy, and I was hired as their new recruiter. Again, had a lot of opportunity to work with fabulous people, and I think what was so magical about that team and their leadership was the amount of trust that was given to me. So they gave me projects that I thought were completely outside of my scope of abilities, but really pushed me and then allowed me to grow in the recruitment space. And so from there, we had layoffs, but the area of consulting that I work in is so niche that my new manager heard of the layoffs, reached out to me within maybe 2 weeks of me being let go. So I was employed all of about 1 month, which, I mean, is really fortunate with the way things are going in the market. And so now I'm at eSimplicity, where I focus on hiring for corporate and technical roles. And honestly, the best part of recruiting is the fulfillment that comes with it. So finding candidates and offering them jobs is truly heartwarming. And I don't feel that there is any better experience that I could have in my job. So, you know, even just being a small part of that process and a cog in that wheel is really just what keeps me going and keeps me wanting to stay in recruitment.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, like you mentioned previously, you worked at Truss, right? So, and like you mentioned, Truss recently went through some layoffs, which is tough for everyone involved, of course. And with the recruitment and talent acquisition fields feeling this, you know, pinch nowadays, I was hoping you could share some insights. I know for you it was like a really short period of time, but still, how can talent acquisition specialists who were like affected can navigate these challenges? Any advice?
Yeah. You know, so I think my advice is twofold. One is for the companies, and the other is for those that have lost their jobs. So starting off with the companies, they really need to focus on having a contingency plan and providing the employees that they're laying off with resources to move forward and succeed. That can be hiring career coaches for them who will work with them to find a job, who will help them update their resumes, provide mock interviews, interview feedback, all of that, and really just stay with them until they find a position. Not all companies do that, but Truss made sure to do that. And I know that it's really helpful just to have someone in your corner helping you navigate that job search. And then if you're leading a remote company, I think it's important to have information for each state's unemployment office. Link as much information as you can, like their phone number, their policies, their handbooks. I actually did this for Truss and then was a person that needed to use it. And honestly, it was nice having that information readily available. It takes out all of the legwork that you have to do because you're battling so many emotions as you're being laid off. So you don't really want to focus on anything else other than finding that position so you can work again. And then I also think, I mean, of course, you know, things can get better with companies. And then if they have the opportunity to rehire, I think that's really important. So have a plan, build out that process. What does the plan look like when you're bringing back employees, when you're ready to hire again? Because of course, companies can say like, yeah, of course, we're going to hire everyone back and we're going to bring everyone back as quickly as possible. But what does that actually look like? You know, do you have a list of names of people that you're going to bring back? Because there are companies that are laying off thousands of people. So you want to make sure that you can track that. And are you making them re-interview? I mean, I hope you're not doing that, but just having this plan set in place so that they can come back with a positive experience. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the numbers and the minutiae. And I think some companies are handling layoffs with as much grace as they can, but at the end of the day, layoffs suck, and all of the contingencies put in place are not going to make that person who is laid off feel any better. So in my advice for anyone who's actually in TA that's navigating job loss is one, take time to grieve because this is a loss. We spend 8 hours, sometimes more, doing our work. And that is such a part of our daily routine that when we don't have it anymore, it's really jarring. So I think even if it's just for 24 hours, be kind to yourself before you hop into that grind of finding a new position. When I was laid off, I ran to my bed and cried for an hour and then came back to my office and just rapid fire starting applying for jobs. And I just don't, when I look back on it, I don't think that's the way I should have handled it. I should have taken time and figured out, okay, what positions do I want to apply for? Do I want to go more? Do I even want to stay in TA? And for me, that was an easy yes because I really enjoy what I do. But I think it's important to take that time. And then for processes, I think it's really important to keep track of all of the roles that you're applying to. So start an Excel sheet. Keep track of all of the companies that are responding to you. The ones that ghost you, maybe it's okay that they didn't get back to you because maybe that's not a company you want to work for to begin with. But I think one of the biggest pieces too is updating your LinkedIn. and it's not fun, but it is so necessary because that's how recruiters find you and know that you're open to work. I almost think of it as, you know, when we used to have MySpace pages and you wanted to let everyone know how cool you are and you wanted to be everyone's top friend. So LinkedIn is the same. And the more you post and the more you optimize your page, the better your chances are of finding a role. And on that note, I always love to see a green open to work banner. I know that that's been a big debate lately, but I use it when I'm finding candidates. Mm-hmm. So just continue to network. See if your friends or coworkers or anyone that you know can give you a personal referral, because those go so far. I think 30% of referrals get hired. And yeah. So that's your best bet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a very cool advice. It seems that you have really clear framework
how to deal with this. I try to.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about eSimplicity, your current company. So mm-hmm. as far as I understood, eSimplicity has this wide-ranging approach, mixing healthcare, IT, cybersecurity, telecommunication solutions. So how does this diverse like a portfolio impact the recruitment strategies at eSimplicity? Can you talk more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll say that I work with a team of 5 different recruiters, and we all work on different roles. And because we're trying to find so many different folks with different abilities, we're really targeted. We target each of our searches and try to break down the qualities that we're looking for in candidates. I actually like to break down my competencies by percentage. So for example, if I'm hiring for a full stack engineer, the knowledge, skill, abilities breakdown would be, you know, 30% front end and back end development, 15% agile development, 15% database management, and so on. But that allows me to really hone in the job description and show candidates what they'll be doing so that we can target the right audience.
Okay. That's a really cool approach, I guess. So, in your role at eSimplicity, you are part of, a company that, as I found out, kind of reinvented in itself and making this, you know, and trying to make this impact. So, how does this reputation affect the recruitment process, and what do you look for in candidates who can contribute to this ongoing legacy?
Ooh, yeah, that's a great question. So reputation is huge for recruitment. Our reputation at eSimplicity, it's phenomenal. And I actually have, you know, the data to back that up. Our HR sends a check-in survey to all of our employees after they've been hired. And they ask, is there a specific reason that you've joined eSimplicity? And it's so refreshing to read the feedback, because the answers say that, you know, they've heard about our company through friends or colleagues, and they told them about our cultural and work environment and how much they enjoy it. And that's what influenced them to apply. And so there are so many qualities I look for in candidates, but a lot of the times I just want to make sure that they can thrive in our work environment. So, you know, like you said, eSimplicity has kind of reinvented itself, and we're in this stage of rapid growth. So I want to make sure that there are people who can come into our culture and thrive. And so, are they someone that likes a structured day where everything is exactly the same? Or can they pivot when we need them to? Are they someone who can work with a team and welcome other opinions than their own and really be a collaborator in a diverse environment? I think those qualities are just as important as technical ability and can really determine who can get the position, who will get the position.
And I guess I found this on your LinkedIn, where you talked about like using honest communication to focus on fairness, like equality and speed in hiring, right? So could you elaborate on how this approach has influenced your recruitment strategies, particularly when we're talking about like remote teams?
Yeah. So I think being able to understand someone's emotional IQ is really important, because it in the first few questions that I talk to a candidate, I'm really able to assess that. And if you have that structure set in place, that affects your entire recruitment process, especially in terms of speed, in terms of the quality of the hire. And in a remote environment, you don't get to bring people into the office. You don't really get to see their quirks and their personality as easy as you would by them coming into the office, because you're on camera. And so I think it's just really important to ask those pointed questions about culture and about their personality. And of course, you can't make a hire based off of that, but you can just get to understand what motivators that person has and see if they align with the company.
Yeah. And another thing, I know that eSimplicity has been recognized for its like a commitment to diversity and inclusion. So how do you make sure your hiring strategies help build a diverse team, especially when we're, again, like hiring remotely in different places, different cultures?
That is a topic that I am so passionate about as a Latinx woman. It is so important to uplift historically marginalized candidates. And there are so many easy and free ways to do that, that companies have no excuse. So there are countless job boards that aim to attract diverse talent. Like I said, I actually found one of my positions on a diversity job board. And there's a few different ones. So there's People of Color Remote, there's Women Remote, there's a job board for people of color in tech specifically. There's the Professional Diversity Network. And those are all just off the top of my head. But the tools are out there, and you just need to make the choice that you're committed to diversity in your hiring. Say you have no budget and you're a startup company and you're running really lean. What I would do is turn to diversity Slack groups. These Slack groups always have a careers channel where you can blast the position and then have people apply. And so a few diversity Slack groups that I'm in are Tequeria, that's for Latinx workers in tech. There's Out in Tech for the LGBTQ community, and there's Black in Tech. And so, like I said, there's no excuse. You just have to do a little bit of research to find out what's out there. And then when we have people and candidates, we also just want to make sure that once we have that diverse pool of candidates, they have a fair interview process. So making sure that all of your current employees are trained on implicit bias and having diverse interview panels where you'll have different ideas, different views. And not only that, but candidates will feel more comfortable if they see someone who looks like them instead of just a homogenous pool of people who they don't share any identity with. And so if you're still making it to the end of your offers and you're noticing that, again, you just have a homogenous pool of people, then brainstorm and try to figure out what you can do differently. Try to find new job boards, try to work with referrals, because having a diverse company is so important. And then the last thing I'll mention is that once you have a diverse workforce, you need to make sure that you're able to keep them and make sure that they're comfortable. So providing affinity groups. I think those are so important, especially when working remotely, because it provides a sense of belonging for these underrepresented employees. And so in the past, I've helped start two Latinx affinity groups at different companies. And it really is such an amazing feeling to have that sense of belonging in a place where maybe you don't feel as represented, but then you realize, no, there is diversity here and we are seen and we hear each other and support each other. And then you can also throw fun little meetings where you do cultural things and just have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And speaking about like a global diversity, are you currently hiring internationally?
We are not, because we work with the government. So most of our hiring is done in the US.
So at this point, you're not planning to go global just because you're kind of have some limits because like a compliance and stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. I have, when I was at the Trevor Project, we did expand into Mexico. And so when we were expanding into Mexico, I think one of the really interesting pieces of that is hiring bilingual recruiters who can help hire, and because you have that language barrier. And they were amazing. I mean, we brought them on, they were trained within a month, and they were able to build out the team in Mexico. So I'll be honest, I don't have much international recruitment experience outside of that expansion into Mexico. And I'm sure that there are some dicey challenges that folks encounter. But yeah. I do think at the end of the day, if you have a fundamentally sound recruitment process from inception, you can use that no matter where you're recruiting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. And like, as you mentioned, you have some previous experience, some background with data science and like analytics background, right? Mm-hmm. So how has this experience influenced your recruitment strategies? And that's the first question. And the second one, with this rapid advancements in AI and machine learning, how do you see the technology shaping the future of talent acquisition?
Yeah. So data has given me so much insight and really provides me with backup when I present a problem to the team. So for example, if we're not hiring, again, DEI talent, enough historically marginalized talent, I can run our EEO data for the team and have the numbers to back me up. Whereas before, I would just be like, I don't know, kind of looks like everyone looks the same. Like data gives me those numbers. I can run that analytics and provide proof, which I think is so important because every company now says that, you know, we're data driven, but are you really? And then it also gives me the ability to identify gaps in our hiring process. I can see what parts of the process are lagging. If we have candidates who are sitting in technical interviews for 2 weeks, what's the reason? How can we expedite this process? And then it also allows us to have predictive analysis based off of our hiring trends. I would actually love to see more roles pop up for talent acquisition analyst positions. You know, companies really need this data, and tech plays a large part in recruitment, from ATSs to automated caloring to, of course, AI for screening. And I know that a lot of people in TA are actually worried about AI taking over our positions. A lot of people are concerned about that. And AI absolutely has a place in recruitment and can make the TA process more efficient. If, say I have 1,400 applications, guess what I'm doing for 5 hours? I am reviewing those 1,400 applications, and that's all manual. So I think that AI can play has a place, and machine learning could really take the brunt of this task by identifying candidates that can move forward, emailing the ones that have been rejected, and doing all of that in a timely manner. That way, you know, the candidates aren't waiting 2-3 weeks to hear from me, and they're having a positive candidate experience. You know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of nuance that goes into recruiting. And so I don't see AI completely replacing recruiters. And I know some companies might try, but I also think, you know, there's so many ethical boundaries, and recruiting is a human process. And I know that a lot of people, they want it to be efficient, but they also want it to, you know, have someone have empathy for them. So I don't think it'll completely replace recruiting. So keep your recruiters, because we need jobs either way.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Okay, so probably my last question. For those talent who would like to join eSimplicity, could you maybe share some key strategies or steps they should consider, like, you know, to stand out?
So I am always impressed by someone who comes to an interview and has done their research about the company. A question I always ask candidates is, what interests you about the company? What interests you about eSimplicity? And you would not believe the amount of people that say, well, it's fully remote and that's just going to work better with the things I need to do. And that's great. It's a bonus that we are remote, and I appreciate that. But at the same time, I want to know, you know, did you do your due diligence and look up just a little bit about us? Did you read an interesting article or LinkedIn post about us? Those are the candidates that are most memorable, because they show you how much they want the position and how much they want to be a part of your company. I'd say to always prepare and run through a few mock interviews with someone who can give you feedback. You can always prepare by yourself as much as you want, but taking that feedback and applying it to your answers is going to really elevate you over other candidates. And then my best piece of advice, truly, it's so simple, to just show up as your authentic self to your interview. I've had the pleasure of getting to talk to some very passionate and talented individuals over the years, and you can tell that they're giving me 100% of their personality. Full send, like, you know, those are the folks that you get a good feeling about. And just remember that as a recruiter, I want you to succeed. I want to run and tell the hiring manager, I just spoke to the best candidate in the world and we need them at our company right now. So I'm always rooting for candidates. I know how hard this process is, but, you know, I truly believe if it's the right company and the right time, that it'll work out for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Victoria, for all these great insights today. Yeah, we wish you all the best in your journey. Thanks a lot.
Yes. Thanks so much, Vit.